morning, the lesson, we want to talk about failing faith. Failing faith. Now, our text is going to be coming from Matthew chapter number 14, 28 through 31. You have it right there in your papers. And it's going to be, we're going to be really kind of looking as an example on today with our brother Peter, Now, Matthew chapter number 14, 28 through 31 reads, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now, this is that example where Peter was on the ship and they saw Jesus afar off, and they saw Jesus walking on water, and they were afraid. But Peter said, if it is you, Lord, out there, bid me to come. And he said, this is Jesus speaking, said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith." Sometimes I hear the saints quoting that part there. "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, that word failing, as we said, the lesson today is failing faith. Failing is when you simply try to do something and it doesn't work. When you try to do something and it doesn't work. There's a difference between failing and failure. Failure means you stop trying altogether. So as a result of you trying to do something and it doesn't work, when you are when it has become defined as a failure, that means you stop trying altogether, and then it becomes failure. But failing simply means you try to do something, and when you tried, it didn't work that time. But to keep at it until it works is what strengthens, builds, and also develops our faith. What strengthens, builds, and develops our faith. Now, in this particular passage in Scripture, we are concerned with what causes faith to fail. What causes faith to fail? And according to Jesus, he tells Peter emphatically that it was what? Doubt. "Wherefore didst thou do what? Doubt." Why did you doubt? Faith caused Peter to be able to walk on the water. And that was something, again, that was humanly impossible. But his faith, remember, faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. What did he hope for? He hoped to get to Jesus. He said, "If it is you, Jesus, bid me to come." And the Lord said, "Do what? Come." And Peter stepped out of the ship and began to walk on water. But according to the scripture, in verse number 30, Peter says, the scripture says that when Peter saw the wind boisterous, and he was became what? Afraid. So you should be asking yourself, what fueled that doubt? What fueled that doubt? Fear and his condition. Fear and his condition. What was his condition as a result of him being afraid? He began to sink. He began to sink. We learn a couple of little things from this lesson. This particular passage is the danger of taking your eyes off of Jesus. No matter what's going on around you and in your life, you have to keep your mind on Jesus. You have to keep your focus on Jesus. If you don't, you will begin to entertain and develop feelings that are not like Jesus. And when you develop those feelings that are not like Jesus, you can't look for success. Your eyes off of Jesus don't equal success. Eyes on Jesus equals success. But eyes off of Jesus, it does not equal success. It only results in failure. That's the result. Failure. meaning you will end up getting to the point where you stop trying. You will end up getting to the point where you lose hope. You lose will. And I don't care, you know, we all have faith issues. We all struggle in our faith from time to time. But the encouragement really in this lesson is not to give up. Don't let it result in a failure. You got to keep pushing yourself through it. Keep using what Jesus has given you. I always tell you the beautiful thing about even with as an adult. When you go out there and you start trying to look for a job, 9 times out of 10, the first job you apply for, you're not going to get it. 9 times out of 10. There are going to be many applications that you're going to have to put out. You're going to get some that are going to respond, and some going to act like you didn't even send them anything. But you have to keep doing what? You have to keep pushing. You have to keep going forward. You have to keep believing that one day someone is going to respond and give you an opportunity to present yourself through an interview, a phone call, or whatever. And you keep pushing yourself that way so that you won't be categorized as a what? Failure. You don't want to be categorized as a failure. An application that doesn't result in a job, yes, it is failing because you didn't get that job you wanted. But you don't want to be categorized as a what? A failure. A person that is a failure is a person that does what? Stops trying. You got to keep putting forth an effort until you are successful at what you've been attempting. It's the same thing with me. Now, look at me, Elder Scudder. I didn't graduate college according to the world standard. World says you really should only be at, you should be doing this college thing for 4 years, and it should result in your bachelor's degree. Well, that wasn't the case with me. I went at it for 20-something years. It was almost 20-something years. It had to be 20 years. It was a long time. You know, a lot of starting, stopping, going part-time, jumping full-time, starting, stopping. Life. Life just tries its best to knock you off track. But what I did not become was a failure at it. Why? Because I achieved my goal. Now, did I fail some classes? Yes. Some classes I failed. Some classes I just did not do good, and they were very discouraging. One, because I knew in order for me to get my goal, my degree, I had to pass that class. So regardless of how much I didn't understand, how much the teacher kept giving me bad grades, I had to overcome that hurdle if I wanted to achieve that goal. Now I could have said, oh, this ain't worth it. That's not, you know, I'm never going to pass. Well, who would have been categorized as a failure? Me. Why? Because I would have stopped trying. But in order for me to overcome that thing, that hurdle that says, Stephen, you are a failure. You will never accomplish this thing. I've got to keep trying at that thing. Yeah, it's the truth. Trying is hard work. It's hard work. It's dedication. It's commitment. Is you being able to step out of your feelings and focus on what your goal is. That's what Peter messed up. He didn't focus on his goal. According to the scripture, he said he began to look at the what? The wind. And the wind was what? Boisterous. And the scripture says as a result of him looking at that wind, he started feeling something he wasn't feeling when he was looking at Jesus. When he was looking at Jesus, the scripture did not describe him as being afraid. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, the scripture described him as being what? Afraid. And as a result of him entertaining fear, what happened to his stability? He began to do what? That's the truth, saints. He began to sink. In other words, the thing that he was overcoming now was overcoming him. And as saints, we don't want to do that. We don't want to get to the point where the thing that we're trying to overcome, that we are overcoming, begins to do what? Overcome us. That's the truth, saints. That's the truth. That's the truth. Now let's look at a little bit more. We'll look at another example. Numbers, chapter number 20. We broke it up a little bit. Chapter number 20, verses number 2. And it's going to be through 12, but we only pulled out scriptures relevant to this failing faith. Someone read that for me. Verse number 2.
There was no water for the congregation.
Yes, that's the condition, right? There was no water. So how were they feeling? Thirsty. Right? Now you thirsty in a hot desert. All kind of feelings start coming in your mind, right? You are following behind Moses. Now, the thing that you got to keep in mind, they already got out of Egypt. Egypt was bad. Because Egypt, the people were doing what? Beating them? Killing their children? Raping the women? This was bad. They were making stone from straw and mud. That's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. And they had to build them great big old memorial statues, whatever they were building, not for their benefit, for the Egyptians' benefits. The scripture said that they were taskmasters over them. When somebody is a taskmaster, they tell you what to do, even when you don't want to do it. They beat you when you resist them. In other words, when you say, well, I got to use the bathroom, taskmaster tell you, use the bathroom right then and there. So now you got to walk around smelling like this all day long, and ain't nothing you can do about it. So now you smell, plus you're getting beat. That's what a taskmaster does to you. So it wasn't beautiful conditions, but Jesus brought them out. Brought them out by many signs and wonders. And not only brought them out, he brought them to the point where their enemy was behind them and a great obstacle was in front of them, the Red Sea. And the Lord told Moses, stretch forth thy rod. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Then the Lord made a highway in the midst of that Red Sea. The scripture says that, and it wasn't something that was done right away. It was an overnight process. The wind blew during the night, and it pushed back the waters, and it also dried up the ground. That all happened during the night. The wind blew all of the water back, and it dried up the ground. The scripture said that wall was like the water became like a wall, and they walked across on dry ground. And when they got across, the Egyptians pursued them. They went after them. But then that same wind that made a way for them now protected them. Why? Because that wind made the sea get her strength back. And now that water was raging and overcame the Egyptians. And not one of them Egyptians that went into that water, life was spared. Every last one of them died. And Jesus made their bodies, along with their chariots and their horses, come up on the shore. On the side, not where Pharaoh was at, but on the side where the Jews were at. And the scripture says, you're going to use all of these dead bodies and the Egyptians' chariots and the horses. They're going to be a memorial to you. A memorial is something that you establish in your mind so that you will not forget. They were supposed to let all of that be a memorial to them so that no matter how hard the conditions got, all they had to do was look at their memorial and do what? Remember, Jesus brought me through. If Jesus gave me victory over that, he'll give me victory over this. But because the conditions got hard, and because they took their mind off of Jesus, when conditions got hard, what did they do according to the scripture in verse number 2? We'll read that in verse number 2 again.
And they said, there was no water for the congregation.
Yes.
And they gathered themselves together.
Not to pray. They didn't gather themselves together to pray. They gathered themselves together so that they can be against who? So that they can be against Moses and against Aaron. You see that? Verse number 3.
And the people chose with Moses.
Yes. That means they argued with him. They disputed with him. In other words, there was a disagreement that they had. They were fussing with Moses. Fussing with Moses over what? Keep going.
They saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord?
Uh-huh.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the Lord.
Underline that. Well, what did the Lord tell Moses to do? Instruction. The Lord gave him instruction. He told him to speak to the rod. Right? To speak to the rock before their eyes. Keep going.
And shall give forth his water.
Yep.
And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock.
Yes.
So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink.
Uh-huh. Keep
and
going.
Moses took the rod from before the Lord. And
as he had commanded. In other words, that's part of the obedience.
Yes.
Moses took the rod. Jesus told him to do what? Take the rod and speak to the rod. Moses did part of it.
Yes.
He took the rod, but look at the next verse.
And it says, Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels.
See, that lets me know Moses' attitude was off. His attitude was off. He didn't say, Hear me now, children of Israel. He called them what? Rebels. He defined them as being against him. Right? Now remember, this is what Jesus tells you. Get it in your mind. These people have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. When you start taking this message personal, you'll start responding personal. And you'll say something that you should not say to those who the Lord has sanctified. Right? That's the truth, saints. Moses called them what? Rebels. Keep going, you rebels.
He said, Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock?
Now, here I am, your servant. I'm supposed to be your leader, and you treat me like I'm a slave. Huh? That word fetch is a hard, is not a pleasant word. You know, somebody asks you, Can you please go get me a glass of water? That's different. Somebody say, Go fetch me some water. Like you some dog or something. Go fetch me some water. No, you better change that a little bit. Just fetch you. You know they don't even sound all that right, do it? Go fetch me some water. Like you some puppy or something. You say, well, can you bring me a glass of water? Moses said, you first of all, y'all rebellious, and now you want me to fetch you water, right? Huh? Out of this rock, right? Keep going.
And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock.
As little Kareem said, he hit that rock. Moses hit that rock. And the Lord didn't tell him to hit that rock. Lord told him to do what? Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. The Lord gave him command. Speak to the rock, right? That's in verse number 20 and verse number 8, right? He said, speak ye to the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth what? Water. But now look what Moses said, you rebels, right? And now you want me to fetch water out this rock, right?
Then Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock.
Yes.
Twice.
Yep.
And the water came out.
Gushing
the
out.
Mm-hmm.
Keep
and
going.
The congregation drank, and then beasts too.
Yes.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me.
What now? Hold up. So what caused Moses' faith to fail? His unbelief. And unbelief was shown because he didn't do what Jesus told him to do. Jesus told him to do what? Speak to the rock. Sometimes I think a lot of times we get that hidden. We think we're not engaging in unbelief because we are doing things that we know seem right. But are you doing it the way Jesus said for it to be done? Are you obeying the Lord because he told you to do it? Are you doing it just because somebody else is watching you? It's not going to work, right? The Lord still categorizes you as an unbeliever, right? That's right. You have to ask the Lord, Jesus, help me. Help me to do the word because I believe in the word. Not because sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is looking at me or hearing me. Help me to do it because I believe in you, Jesus. That's one thing. Jesus knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you're doing. He knows the motives and the intents of the heart. You can't fool Jesus. You can fool people, but you cannot fool Jesus. You got to make sure that your actions are motivated by your belief in Jesus. I do this because I believe in Jesus. Right? Read a little bit more.
And it says, because ye believe me not,
yes,
sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them.
Yes. Your belief in Jesus in the eyes of the people set Jesus apart as your leader.
Right.
It sets Jesus apart as your God. You're letting the people know that the power that is in you is not of you.
Right.
But it is of Jesus.
Right.
He is the cause of your success.
Yes. Right.
He is the cause of your strength.
Right.
He is the reason why you have faith.
Yes. Right.
That's the truth. If you don't have Jesus, you ain't got no faith.
No, you don't. Jesus.
You got a trust or reliance on something that's not long lasting, but you don't have no faith that the Lord is looking for. You got to have trust and rely and depend on Jesus. That's the truth, saints. Now, let's read a little bit more. The dangers of unbelief. Now, this is what caused faith to fail in Moses. The dangers of unbelief. Somebody get those scriptures too. Hebrews 3:12, they're familiar.
Hebrews 3:12.
Yes.
Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
That's the truth, saints. So that lets you know when you have unbelief inside of you, what's motivating it? An evil heart. That's not Jesus that's motivating your unbelief. That's nobody but the devil. The devil is motivating you not to believe in Jesus. Scripture said that if the gospel be hid, it's hid unto those that are lost.
Yes.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not.
Right.
In other words, what is the God of this world doing? He's motivating the unbelief.
Right.
He's promoting the unbelief.
Right.
The devil don't want you to believe in Jesus.
Right.
He wants you to think you can be successful not believing in Jesus.
Right.
Well, in reality, you become a what? A failure. You become a failure. Why? Because you stop trying to believe in Jesus. That's why I said in the beginning, you may fail at faith. You may become weak in your faith. But you've got to keep on trying. That's the truth. You've got to keep putting forth an effort. Even when it doesn't work out the first time, you got to go back at it again. That's what you learn that lesson when you're tarrying for the Holy Ghost. When you're tarrying for the Holy Ghost, many people don't receive the Holy Ghost the first time when they call on Jesus. They get down there and cry to the Lord, but you've got to say, Lord, even though I wasn't successful this prayer service, I've got to come back. I've got to come back and do it again. Why? Because I don't want to be a failure at eternal life, right? That's the truth. You got to keep trying.
Amen.
You got to keep putting forth an effort.
Right.
Against the odds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, against all of those check marks that say you failed.
Yes.
You got to keep putting forth an effort. One of these days you're going to come in here and you're not going to fail.
Right.
One of these days you're going to come in here and you're going to receive Jesus.
Right.
And that's what the devil is trying to distract you from getting.
Yes.
He just don't want you to get to that point.
Yes.
Devil wants you to go into the grave of failure. Huh? He don't want you to go into the grave someone that tried. You know, someone that tried and was successful. That's the truth, saint. That's the truth. Read a little bit more. Did you finish reading
that?
And departing. So that's why you cannot let that unbelief linger in your life. Don't let that unbelief stay in your mind. When you that thought that says you can't do it, I know it. You say, Elder Scudder, what took you 20 years? Because the unbelief kept lingering in my mind. When I didn't do well in the class, I said it with myself, forget it. It's not worth it. I cannot do it. But something inside of me say, you want the gold. This is something that you want to say you did in your life. And then I had to go right back and apply to the same class again. The same class I failed at, I had to take that same class again. Swallow my pride. Swallow my pride and say, Lord, help me. I don't understand. This thing is confusing to me. Here you are thinking you're so smart, you don't know nothing. Jesus, please help me. Help me to make the connections I need so that I can be successful. You may go from an F to a C, but as long as you pass, I passed that hurdle, right? I became successful. I'm no longer failing at it, right? That's the truth, saints. That's all the devil don't want you to do is get over that hurdle.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth, saints. Yeah. That's how the enemy work. He know if he can just get that unbelief inside of you, it doesn't bring you closer to success. It helps you to do what? Depart. That word depart means leave. You be asking yourself, why do people leave the church? Because there's something inside of them. Something inside of their mind that just don't want to trust Jesus completely. I don't care. I don't know what the situation is. I don't care what the circumstance. Something inside of their mind don't want to trust the Lord completely. But you got to ask the Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Help my unbelief, right? Help me to get overcome that thing in me that's trying to take me further away from you, right? Why? Because I want to be successful.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to be successful. I don't want to to be categorized as a what?
Failure.
That's the truth. Sometimes I hear you, some of you say, well, Elder Scudder, I can't remember none of it. Well, you're giving in to it. You got to keep putting forth an effort. You got to keep putting forth an effort to do what? Try. Just try. Try. Show the Lord Jesus, I'm here. I'm willing to do what? Try. I don't know everything. I need you to help me, Jesus. That's true. Just do what? Do what? Try. Try. Don't just give in. Don't throw in the towel. Pick yourself up.
Right.
Show the Lord Jesus you at least are putting forth an effort.
Right.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody but the devil trying to take you away from it. Because he knows he don't want you to be successful.
Right.
Devil wants you to get something he got. Which is a bunch of nothing. Huh? That's what devil wants you to get, what he got. A bunch of what? Nothing. He ain't got no future to look forward to. He has nothing to look forward to but torment. So what you think he want to put inside in front of you? Make you start doing stuff that's not going to help you be successful. For you know it. Every time somebody say, come on, why don't you try that? I can't do that. I don't want to do that. You should be asking yourself, what are you actually doing then? Lord done saved you all these years. What are you doing? Huh? You think the Lord got a problem? Lord got a weakness? Lord ain't got no power to help you to perform better? For you to grow in your faith? Well, I'm saved. How saved really are you? Now you making me question just how saved you are. I know what. I don't think you really know what's inside of you. Because if you got the Holy Ghost gives you a spirit of I can. Huh? He don't give you a spirit of defeat. He give you a spirit of I can. Scripture says I can do all things through Christ. That does what? Strength. Jesus is my strength, right? I'm not leaning on myself to do this. I'm leaning on the Lord to help me to do this. That's the truth, saints. You got to have that inside of you. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have that inside of you. You have that spirit, that mind inside of you to keep pushing forward. Not falling by the wayside, to keep pushing forward. One thing you learn about that man, blind Bartimaeus, no matter how much life tried to tell him no, he still kept crying out to Jesus the more. He cried to the Lord more, Jesus, help me, right? And the Lord got his attention, didn't he? Now imagine if he would have gave up the first time when the folk told him he was failing. Huh? If the people would have gave, if they would have got in his mind the first time saying that you failed because he tried to call the Lord the first time and the Lord did not answer him. Therefore, people started whispering in his mind saying, you failed at it. Give up. He's too far gone. But that brother used the tools he had and started crying out to the Lord to want some more, right? And the Lord saw his effort. That's all the Lord is looking for you to put forth a what? An effort, right? Put forth an effort. That's the truth. Read a little bit. Did y'all finish reading Hebrews? Read a little bit more.
Hebrews 16.
Yes.
Some, when they had heard, did provoke.
Yeah. Now you don't want to be that way. After hearing the word, you begin to provoke the word. How do I provoke the word? You do what they did. You begin to rebel. You begin to create an argument. You begin to create unbelief and division. You don't want to do that when you hear the word. You want to be able to say, Lord, whatever you say, amen. That's the truth, saints. You want to be silent when the Lord is speaking. You say, Lord Jesus, I got a little debate in me. Lord, take that debate out of me. Why? Because I realize you're giving me this word to help me. He ain't helping himself. He's trying to help you live. Jesus ain't on his way to hell, but you and I are. Anybody that don't have Jesus on his way to hell, right? You need all the help you can get, right? Need all the help I can get. Dealing with this no good thing inside of me, and it keeps on being successful. Huh? If you know anything about the flesh, it keeps on being successful in its attacks against you. Why? Because it makes you pay attention to stuff you shouldn't be paying attention to. You begin to glorify this stuff and make it more than the God you say saved you. Yeah, the God that you say saved you said, let there be light, and there was light. He showed you there's nothing too hard for him, right? But yet we keep caving. Huh? We keep caving every time stuff get a little bit hard. See, if it get a little bit difficult, Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the truth, saints. Yeah. I know that's within me. That happened to me, so I know it happened to you.
Yeah.
I know it happens to me. I stop paying attention to stuff I really shouldn't be paying attention to.
Yeah.
Start giving that stuff attention.
Yeah.
Start giving it, how you know you're giving attention, because I start talking about it. Start thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I really shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
And it begins to develop feelings in me that I really should not have.
Right.
I know one thing, I didn't have that feeling when I had the Holy Ghost.
Right.
When I received the Holy Ghost that night, I didn't have a negative feeling inside of me. So I know what the Lord expects.
Right.
But when that negative stuff starts surfacing, and you got to say to me and say, that's not
that's
Jesus.
Right.
It's not the Lord in me. The Lord don't want me to be feeling like this.
No,
not about myself, and not definitely about my brothers and my sisters.
Right.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Right.
No, can't nobody even talk to you because you just snappy and you're evil. Can't nobody even get a word in with you.
Right.
Why? Because you say, oh, what you looking at me for? What you touching me for? What is wrong with your spirit? Something is wrong with the Holy Ghost inside of you. You done pushed Jesus all the way down.
Yes. Thank you,
Jesus. And if you ain't careful, you're going to push him right out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because your attitude is horrible.
Right.
Your attitude is horrible. And yet you want to talk about how saved you are. Yeah, right. You better not die. You better pray the Lord keep you breathing. Because you need to fix some stuff. You need to fix some stuff, right? But I say, Lord, take away every root of bitterness. Anything that's contrary to you, Lord Jesus. All that malice and guile. All that stuff got to come out of you,
right?
If you want to go back with Jesus. You think Jesus going to have some bitter saints in the kingdom? No. No. They lingering down here, but they not going back with Jesus. You got to kick all that bitterness out of you. For minute you take that bitterness, how you think you're going to get along, all that praise going along? First thing you, attitude you're going to have, why to be so loud? All that shouting, hallelujah. They act like the Lord can't hear. Lord, I don't need that up here. You keep that on the earth. You keep that on the earth. Man, all that noise all in my ears. Lord, don't want none of that up there. Man, you keep that foolishness on the earth. Now, you think if it's on the earth, you think you're going to be able to drag that up with Jesus? You're going to die right on the earth with that spirit. It's the truth. It makes sense. It makes sense. Read a little bit more. And that, we already know that. Sister Scudder going to be going over that lesson in a couple of weeks about how so many people came out. Between 2 and 4 million people came out of Egypt. And how many only made it two? Two people. Joshua and Caleb. Moses was the one that did what? He couldn't even get in. Because of his what? His unbelief. That's how you know unbelief is dangerous. It's not something to play around with. It'll cause you to miss out. Oh yeah. It'll cause you to miss out on your blessing. Unbelief. When you start entertaining what you cannot do. Unbelief. When you should be saying, Lord Jesus, give me the strength. Give me the mental wherewithal to do what? Trust you. Not to lean on my own understanding, right? Lord done told you in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him,
right?
He will do what? Direct your path. That's the promise from Jesus,
right?
That's the truth, saints. All of us have issues.
Right.
Things that we struggle with, but you can't let those issues hold you back.
Right.
You got to keep moving forward. Got to keep pushing yourself. So what, it takes you an hour to read a sentence.
Right.
Get the sentence read.
Right.
Yeah. Get read and say at the end of the day, Jesus, I thank you.
Right?
I did not fail at this, right? Why? Because I kept on trying, right? I kept on trying. You heard it all in your schooling. Nothing beats a failure but a what? A try. You want to overcome failure, you got to keep on doing what? Trying. Got to keep on trying. Lord, don't take that trying spirit out of me. No, I mean, how many times I fail. Please don't take that trying spirit out of me. That give up spirit. That spirit just to be content, you know, where I am. Satisfied where, I want to keep moving forward. Isn't that the truth? You want to keep moving forward,
right?
Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep it. All right. Did you finish reading?
It says, but verse 17, but with whom was he grieved?
Yeah.
Was it not with them that yep. had sinned, whose carcass was sold?
Fell in that wilderness, yep.
18, and to whom swear he that they should not?
He promised them that they're not going to get in.
Mm-hmm. Right. But to them that believe not.
Yep.
So, we see that they could not
they enter could in. Not enter in.
Because of unbelief.
That's an inability. Could not means you were not able to do something. Yeah. And you should be asking yourself, what prompted that inability? The same thing that prompted the inability in Peter to continue to walk on the water. The same thing that prompted the inability of Moses to enter into a land that he was destined to lead them to. It was all what? Unbelief and doubt. Right? Peter sank because he doubted. Right? Moses could not get into the promised land because of what? Unbelief. Right? So you say within yourself, what does Jesus expect from me concerning failing faith? When my faith begins to fail, what does Jesus expect from me? That's in Luke chapter number 22, 31 through 32. Read, what does that say?
The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have.
Now you should be asking yourself, what in the world is Satan after? He's not after me per se, but he's after what? My faith. He knows faith is important. Huh? Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without it, you can't please God. He that cometh to God must first do what? Believe that he is. And that he's a what? A reward. So the devil don't want you to have no faith in Jesus, right? He can just get you to stop trusting Jesus. Fall by the wayside. Huh? I don't care how old you are. He just wants you to give up on Jesus. How young you are, just don't believe in Jesus. It's the same attack. Just don't believe in Jesus, right? That's the truth. Believe in your condition, your situation. Think that that situation is more powerful than Jesus, right? That's the truth. You think about your body be having pain all over it. Devil, what do you think he wants you to think? That your pain is more powerful than Jesus. Huh? That there's nothing more severe than the pain you feel in your body. Huh? You start to accentuate that pain more than you accentuate Jesus. Huh? Somebody asks you, you're going to be going, nah, I can't do nothing. I can't. You don't understand what's going on in my body. You don't understand. What about Jesus? I don't even want you to witness to me. I don't need you to witness to me. You putting your pain above Jesus. I need somebody to believe Jesus. Believe him, no matter how I feel in my body, the Lord is to be glorified, right? Huh? Say, that was because I ain't there yet. That's what you pray for. But I don't want you to be content where you are. I'm trying to let you know your faith is failing. It's not going in the right direction. You need your faith to go on the up and up. Not downward. You need to go on the up and up, right? Get to that point where you can just say emphatically, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I do or trust it. Huh? You got that kind of faith, and I ain't got it yet. But that's what you got to pray and fast for. Got to learn to keep your mouth shut until you get that kind of faith. Because the Lord needs you to be a what? A witness unto him, right? Not a witness unto yourself, a witness unto Jesus, right? He didn't save you to go around telling people how sick you are. That's not what the Lord saved you for. He wants you to tell folks that the Lord brought me out of darkness into what? The marvelous life, right? Put joy down inside of my soul. When your sickness overcomes you, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut until the Lord does what strengthens your faith. That's the truth. Keep your mouth shut. You end up killing faith by doing all of that talking, right? Why? Because you ain't doing nothing but talking a bunch of what? Unbelief. Yeah, because it's dominating your mind. I'm not telling you not going to be there. Sometimes it gets like that. But you got to learn how to be silent, right? And ask the Lord, Jesus, restore me. Strengthen my body, right? Strengthen that inner man, right? Help that inner man overcome that old outside fella, right? Old outside fella's trying to bring my mind into captivity, right? To the what? To the law of sin and death, right? That is within my members, right? That's why Paul said, I know that dwelleth in me. I know it's in me, right? It's a what? It's a no good thing, right? We need the Lord to have give you the Holy Ghost to overcome that thing, right?
Hallelujah.
Only Jesus can help you to overcome that.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
It's in all of us, right?
Yes, Lord Jesus.
But only Jesus can help us overcome that thing, saints. That's the truth. That's the truth. Simon, Satan has a desire to have you that he may sift you like wheat. In other words, that devil don't want you to be successful. He wants to sift you like wheat, right? But what did the Lord say? I prayed for you, right? Why are you where you are, Elder Scudder? Because the Lord prayed for you, right? Lord don't want you to be a failure. He wants you to be successful. Therefore, when he prayed, he had you and me. He had me in my mind, in his mind. Jesus taught him not to think about Stephen when he was on his knees praying. And what did he think about me? According to the scripture, he said, I don't want your faith to do what? What does the Lord want for me? He don't want my faith to fail, right?
Right.
Nobody but the devil wants you to fail that faith.
Yes.
But you got to say, no. The Lord wants me to be successful in my faith. How do you know, Elder Scudder? Because he prayed for me. And what did he pray? He said, I prayed that your faith fail not, right? Is that scripture? I prayed that your faith fail. See, this is what I was talking about when I was trying to tell the saints, stop talking to those that are trying to receive the Holy Ghost, those that you've been witnessing to. Stop talking to them about stuff that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. Why? Because you're trying to do what to them? I'm trying to build up your faith. I'm trying to speak positive things into your life. Why? Because I need you to do what? Trust Jesus. Because there's enough out there trying to persuade you not to trust him, right? I'm trying to get you to do what? Trust the Lord. No matter what you're going through in your life, trust Jesus. He will help you. Even when things seem impossible, Jesus will do what? He'll help you. How would the writer said that your faith fail not? And when you are strengthened, when you're converted, when your mind changes the way it needs to change, thinking positive, thinking optimistic, knowing that Jesus is salvation, when your mind changes like that, then you can strengthen the brother, right? But until then, you need to keep your mouth shut. You need to learn to be quiet. Somebody say, why are you not saying anything? Because I just need the Lord to help me right now. And everybody would know that. When your mouth, you say, oh, why you ain't talking to him? Well, I just need the Lord to help me right now. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It don't have nothing to do with what. I need the Lord to help me right now. And that's a cue. Somebody say something like that, they letting you know they struggling in their faith. And what do you need to do as a good saint? Stop praying for them. Praying, Lord Jesus, strengthen their faith. Help them, Lord Jesus. Pray with them, fast with them, that the Lord will do what? Strengthen their faith. Why? Because you don't want anybody to fail, right? We don't want nobody to fail. Good teachers don't want their students to fail. They try everything they can to try to prevent them from failing. Oh, you mean, just write me a letter. Write all your numbers. What word problems do you know? Well, I know 2 + 2. Write 2 + 2 a couple of times on a piece of paper. We're going to see if we can push you through a little bit. Why? Because they don't want you to do what? They don't want you to fail. They don't want you to fail. Meet with me after class. Now, I'm trying to tell you, that teacher is not getting paid for that.
Right.
They get paid to work an 8-hour job. Yeah. But when you see them working all in the middle of the night, even on the weekends, come meet me in the park and we'll go over this with you. Come meet, do this. And we'll. They're trying to let you know they don't want you to do what? They don't want you to fail, right? Now, if that's true about education, what about Jesus? All the time the Lord spend with us, all these services we have during the week. Some gonna look at you and tell you go to church too much, but you got enough common sense, you know, well, we really ain't in here enough. All the attacks we get from the devil all day long. And you trying to keep your mind on Jesus. You can't even get in the door after service where that devil's not trying to take your mind off the Lord. I mean, you can't even put your key in the door hole. Can't even turn the lock, for that devil is attacking right immediately. I see it sometimes. I see some of y'all when we get out the van. See some of you go right to your door and you be looking all around. You say, oh. I said, the devil attacking already. We just got out of service. Right. The devil be attacking already because you be looking around at the conditions you got to go deal with, right? But Lord, help me to keep my mind on you, right? That's how you know the devil is real. Now you know he ain't playing around with you. He mean what he doing. He know if he can get your mind off of you, off of Jesus, he knows he can cause you to be a failure. Right? That's the truth, saints. Come on. So read over now. Turn your pages over. Now this is a parable, a good one, where the Lord talks about the value of his word. I'm going to get ready to let you all go. Somebody read that for me. Yes.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
Yes.
Right? Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil.
Yeah.
And taketh away the word out of their heart.
Now, have you all experienced stuff like that?
Yes.
I have.
Yes.
I have, where the enemy tried to come and snatch that word I just heard.
Yes.
And remember, who is it that's doing it? It's the devil.
Right.
The devil tried to do what? Snatch that word you just heard.
Yeah.
From where he trying to get it out of? Out of your heart. That's why I tell you, you got to safeguard this word.
Right.
If you don't protect, you're talking about putting your diamonds in the safe. You better put the word of God in the safe.
Yeah.
I mean, put it in the safe of your heart.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why? Because you don't want to lose it, right?
Right.
You want it to stay right there with you.
Because right.
You know you're going to need to draw off of it.
Right.
You're going to need the Lord's word.
Right.
You talking about needing medicine? You gonna need, talking about friend? You gonna need the Lord's word.
Right.
You gonna need that word to stand up in your life.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. You gonna need the word of God.
Yeah.
To, I mean, to really stand up in your life and do for you what you cannot do.
Right.
You let them doctors come tell you something don't look right and they don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the word to step in and say, "Don't worry about it, Stephen."
Yeah.
I saw this before you got here. And I'm working it out. Lord, I don't see how you... I'm working it out. Just learn how to do what? Just learn how to trust me,
right?
That's the truth, saints. Don't let the enemy come in there and do what? Snatch that word from out of your heart. Keep going. That you should do what? Why does he snatch the word? Why does he snatch the word? Because he doesn't want you to do what? He don't want you to believe and be what? He don't want you to believe and be saved. Next verse.
They on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy.
I know a lot of people like this. But the problem is, they ain't got no root.
They have no root. For a while, they believe.
Yeah.
In time of temptation, fall away.
Yep. Then we just got to preach that message while we're down there. Don't enter into temptation.
Right.
You can't control temptation.
No.
You can't stop it from coming up in front of your face. But the thing that you can control is not going into it.
Right.
Don't enter into temptation, right? That's what the Lord, that's the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples. Lead us not into what? That lets you know the Lord is not going to do this. It's nobody but the devil that wants you to do that. Lead us not into temptation, but do what? Deliver us. That's right, deliver us. Read a little bit more.
And 14 say, and that which fell among thorns.
I know a lot of people like this.
When they have heard, they go forth and are choked.
Yeah. I don't care how much you try to tell them to start performing the word. Start doing what the word says. But the more you say, do the word, that's when they respond about something that ain't got nothing to do with the word.
Right.
You tell people, say, you need to run to church. I would run, but I can't. Why can't you come? Well, this person is coming to fix this in my house today. Or, I got a meeting with the family today. I need to go meet with this person today. That's the cares of life. It ain't got nothing to do with your soul.
Right?
That let me know that the word fell among what? Some thorns.
Right?
Now, Elder Scudder, what does it say? How do I know the word fell among thorns, Elder Scudder? Because what happened? It's choked with the what? The cares of life, right?
Pleasures of this life and bring no
fruit. They bring no fruit. That perfection means growth, maturity, right?
Right.
And you keep going. But this is where you want. Verse number 15. Everybody should have that highlighted. This is the kind of mind that I want to have. I want to have what? Good ground. Right? Is that what the verse say?
But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and
yes,
having heard the word,
keep it,
and bring forth fruit.
Now that's why we gave you that picture there. Mm-hmm. Y'all see that picture on your paper? So to let you see the four different types of soil. And which one do you want to be? I want to be the good soil. I don't want to be that other kind of soil. All that other stuff I want to get rid of, okay? So we see in the next part of the lesson, how is faith developed? Faith is developed by hearing the word. Right. So it says, so then faith cometh by doing what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. Not hearing a bunch of junk. Not hearing a bunch of advice. But hearing the unadulterated word of God, right? We know that there is a progression of faith into action. The Lord is not putting faith inside of you for faith to stay still. He expects faith to have action. Faith is an action word. One, Jesus gives the preacher the mind to deliver the message that is from Jesus. Two, the individual must do what? Hear what the message is instructing you. What is Jesus trying to tell me to do? Not Elder Scudder. Get that out your mind. I'm just the spokesperson, right? If you don't get mail, you cannot get mad at the mailman because he gives you a shut-off notice. Go to the source. Mailman has nothing to do with the shut-off notice, right? I didn't cut your power on, and I'm not going to cut it off. I'm just telling you that the power company sent me this letter, and I'm sending it to you, right? You can cuss me out all you want, right? I ain't got nothing to do between you and the power company, right? Is that true? So that means you can be mad at Elder Scudder all you want. I have nothing to do with the word of God. My responsibility is to do what? Deliver. What thus saith the Lord. And it's up to you and me to do what? Hear what Jesus is saying to me, right? And I mean, don't just talk about their hearing with them ears. It's talking about understanding. Get a comprehension of what Jesus is saying to you, right? Number three, the individual must do what? Believe the message and the source of the message. Realize that this message is coming from who? From Jesus. It's coming from Jesus to who? To me. Now, number four, so that the Lord ain't going to give your mind to run after the service and say, oh, Darian, did you hear what Elder Scudder was saying? First of all, Darian should turn to you and say, did you hear what he said?
Right.
Stop that spirit in his track. Stop it in his track. Because it's not the Lord. The Lord don't operate that way. Did you hear what the Elder Scudder? No. Did you hear what he said? I heard what he said, but he was talking to you. No. He was talking to you. How do you know it? Hey, how you going to tell me he was talking? What I heard him say sound like it was just for you. No. It sounded like it was just for you. And you let that word go in one ear and out the other. Does that make sense? The individual must believe the message and the source of the message. This message is coming directly from Jesus to me, right? Number four, the individual must move into action. The word is telling me to do something. What is the word telling me to do, right? Do the word of God. That's James 1 and 22. But be ye what? Doers of the word and not what? Just hearers or readers only, okay? You got to do the word. Now, we notice, I got to get ready to let y'all go. In Peter lets us know how faith grew inside of him. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, 3 through 9, and also in 2 Peter chapter number 3, 14 through 18. Go over to the 2 Peter 1, and we'll get ready to close out there. But for your reading for home, definitely read chapter number 1 in 1 Peter. Because remember, it's no mistake, as I said, Peter talks about the importance of faith and how you can't stay in a state of constantly failing at faith. Because Peter was like that. Remember, Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. That was Peter that said that. I think Jackie was saying that last night. Yesterday I was like, she said, cock-a-doodle-doo. Because the cock crew. Now, it ain't no rooster that was doing that. It was the chaining of the God, but she was making a joke outside. Cock-a-doodle-doo. But Peter's mind frame before that happened said, Lord, I'll never deny you.
Yeah.
But what did the Lord see? Peter had a problem. He was doing what? His faith wasn't going up. It was going, even though he was talking good, his faith was going down. But Jesus could see that. Jesus could see that. That's why the Lord told him, when you're converted, when your mind changes the way it needs to change, I need you to take what you've learned and strengthen the brother. So now when you get into 1 Peter and 2 Peter, Peter has gone through a whole lot of stuff. So he really is in a good position to tell us how to overcome failing faith. Okay? What did I say? 2 Peter chapter 1.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things.
Yeah, so the key to overcoming failing faith is to keep my mind on Jesus. The writer said to look what? Diligently.
That he may be found in him.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Keep going.
Count that the long suffering of our love is out.
The Lord is putting up with us all of these years because he wants us to be what? Saved. He could have cut you off.
Right.
He could have. He really could have. He could have cut you off a long time ago. But he's been putting up with us all of these years. Because he wants us to really be what? Saved. Keep going.
Even as our beloved brother Paul also consigned to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things.
Yes.
Which are some things hard to be understood.
Yeah, because the mind can't fathom it. You got to have faith to just trust Jesus and what he is saying. Your mind can't see it. Your mind can't see it. Keep going.
With they are that are unlearned and unstable.
Yeah. Yep.
As they do also the other scriptures.
Yep.
To their own destruction.
Yep.
Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away.
Now, what happened to Israel? Why did they miss the promised land? Because they were led away by the spirit of error. Their unbelief was their error.
Right.
And he's telling you to beware, right? Is that what he said?
Of the
error of the wicked. Falling from what? Your own steadfast. Listening to stuff you really shouldn't be listening to. Is that it for that chapter?
Uh-huh.
And then if you go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, very famous scripture to help us to remember, why is faith so important? And how can faith benefit me? What is that? Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number... Not Hebrews,
sorry,
Ephesians.
I have to read 2 Peter.
What were you reading? 1 Peter?
3 and 18. I didn't read the last 18.
Oh, you didn't read the last one. Oh, that's what I want you to read. I'm sorry.
The last one says here, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, grow in his knowledge, right?
To him be glory both now and
forever. Yes, to Jesus be glory both what? Now and forever. That's how you want your faith to conclude. That's how you want faith to conclude in your life. Jesus, get the glory, but what? Now and forever. Ephesians chapter number 2, 8 and 9 says, but what? For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should do what? Next verse. We are. Who do you need to work on you? I don't need Deacon James to work on me. I need Jesus to work on me, right?
We are his workmanship created in Christ.
That's right. Deacon James don't need me to work on him. Deacon James needs who? Jesus. He needs Jesus to help him to be the person he needs to be, right?
Which God have before ordained.
That's right. But say, take grace and take advantage of it, saints. Realize that's the only reason why you are where you are. If it wasn't for the Lord's grace, we would be lost.
Yes. Yep.
That's the truth, saint. Grace is what? Unmerited favor.
Shown
to who? An undeserving. You don't deserve to get what you get.
Nope.
Many of you start walking around like you deserve this stuff is the minute you're on your way to the pit.
Right.
You need to ever keep it in your mind. Jesus, I don't deserve. When we sing that song, I know I don't deserve. All the good things that you, but he just does what? He just keep right on. Keep right on blessing you. He blessed you this morning.
Yeah, he did.
Bless you to wake up this morning,
yeah.
Get the activities of your limbs,
yeah.
Reasonable portion of health.
Yeah.
Nobody had to dress you. You dressed yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was grace that did that for you, right?
Yeah.
Nothing but the Lord's grace and his mercy did that for you, saints. So he is to be praised. Don't let the enemy cause you to keep failing at faith. Elder Scudder, will I fail at faith? Yes. I'm telling you, yes. Life is constantly going to be attacking your mind to make you pay attention to things that are not like Jesus. But don't become a what? A failure. A failure is a person that does what? Stops trying. So no matter how hard you work at it, and no matter how many times you fail at it, get back up and get back at it again. Right? Because that's the only way you're going to overcome that thing. Right?
Yeah.
I'm talking from experience.
Yeah.
Not telling you something I made up. That was going to have been saved 30-something years. So I'm talking from experience. Yeah. Only reason I'm where I am all these years is because did I fail? Yeah. Many times. Many times. But I had a mind to do what? Get right back up and get right back into it again.
Yeah.
I didn't let my shortcomings keep me from church.
Right?
Right? I didn't know, because I realized Jesus is the source.
Right.
Only way I'm going to overcome this thing that's causing me to fail is I got to do it through Jesus.
Right.
Okay? He is my what? My strength.
Right?
Right? Jesus is your strength. I'm not doing this because I go to the gym or because I've run around the block 5 times or because I can lift weights. That kind of strength means nothing.
No.
All that do is take care of your body.
Right.
But the writer done told you this ain't no physical fight. This is spiritual warfare, right? We don't wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. But against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, right? High places, right? You need the Lord to help you to overcome that stuff,
saint.
It is amazing. You see these little bodies, these little people bodies. That spirit get inside of them. I mean, it's a bold spirit.
Yes.
I mean, it ain't ashamed to say nothing.
No.
It ain't ashamed to roll its eyes.
No.
Tell you, I ain't doing nothing.
Right.
Whoa. It's a spirit inside of them, right?
Because
you know physically, man, I'll choke the life out of you.
Right.
Not with two hands, with one hand. One hand behind my back, I'll choke the life out of you. But that spirit that's inside of them says, I'm bold.
Yeah.
I'll beat the biggest person. That's how that spirit be operating. And you know that little fellow Napoleon?
Yeah.
He was an evil fella.
Yes,
but he was a short little fella.
Yeah.
He was a short little scrawny little fella. But he was evil.
Yeah.
He was evil. He was evil. He was evil. He was evil and he was bold. That's why they say he was a great conqueror. They go, they want to do what? Put me up on my ladder. Let me say. That was his attitude. That was his attitude. That lets you know it's not the physical appearance, but it's that spirit that's in him. And you need the Lord to realize the Lord want to deliver you from that old bold spirit that's inside of you, making you thinking you the most, to say the least. When you realize, Lord, I am what? I'm nothing. I can't do nothing without you, Jesus. All right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. We don't want to fail at our faith, okay?